I'd like to call to order a special call meeting of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. We have one item that we will deal with tonight in beginning our portion of the budget process. Needless to say, this process has started many months ago. Thank each of you for being here. Mayor Warren Gooch, thank you for being here, and Council Members Callison, Dotson, and Hammond. We appreciate you making the effort to be here. This will not be the last that you hear of this, I'm sure. So thank you for being here. Just a brief comment, Dr. Borchers, before we start. Upon receiving the budget, I am very impressed with what you and your staff have done with the format in here. I told Dr. Borchers this morning, the thing, and it should have, that caught my attention right off was the pictures of the students on the front. I think that really tells the story of what this is all about. Pat, I know you and your staff have worked extensive hours getting this out when you did, and we as a board appreciate that. Look forward to going through this in its format and dealing with the budgetary issues that face us. But again, thank you, and please convey to your staff our thanks for their effort in making this document happen for us. Dr. Borchers.
All right, good evening, everyone. And just a reminder, as you said, Mr. Chairman, tonight is one meeting of many. We'll have opportunities for input. Tonight is really our opportunity to present through PowerPoint. The board does have the budget. It is now going to be posted online as well. But we will go through some slides, and it's kind of broken down in three sections. One will kind of be some academic pieces and some things and initiatives that we're very proud of. Second part will be the financial piece with Pat Smith. And then Alan will finish with a few slides on facilities. So we'll go ahead and get started to talk about some of our celebrations. I think it's very fitting today that we're talking about STEM and being reminded of our focus on STEM. We had Mr. Kai Fu Lee visit Jefferson and Oak Ridge High School, and just an amazing ability to portray his message, his intellect, to all of us. So a lot of things he said rang true with us in the mission that we're on. I want to just highlight the seven keys this evening. I know we've talked a lot about this in the past, but I just want to remind the board and our community that we are making some significant strides in these key performance indicators, specifically on key seven. And again, that's AP, advanced placement, dual enrollment, industry certification, or in our JROTC Navy program. And we've seen this slide many times. Our staff has, our board has, but I'll have you focus on the four C's for college and career readiness. And I know, Mr. Dotson, you heard Kai Fu speak today, and I believe we are truly on the right path in the Oak Ridge schools by focusing on those four C's, problem-based learning. And Kai Fu's message today was exactly that. Gone are the days where rote memorization, drill and kill, if you will, are the qualities and characteristics that our employers are looking for. So very excited about that. And what that means then is that all of our students are really getting this holistic, STEM-based, problem-based learning education in the Oak Ridge schools, and just can't be more proud of that. So of course, there were some accolades out of that, and we'll just remind everybody, after 4 years of working on that, we did get the title of Advanced Ed STEM Certification. And as I talked to people and presented other places, you know, it's more so than just having the banner on the wall and having the award, but it's the absolute work that our staff has done to make this happen. When you think about all the other things we do, all the accountability pieces, everything else that we deal with, on top of that, our staff said, you know what, we'll do it. We're in. And not just in one building, but all buildings. And I think that's truly a testament of how great our school district is. So we were the first in Tennessee, second in the world, and we thank the city for helping us put those billboards up to celebrate that. And I guess before I pass it to Pat, this is the data I think we're most proud of. We talk a lot about percentages, a lot about increases, but when you look at those increases from when we started to where we're at, and here's that graphically, I think it proves that if you have a goal, if you have a purpose, and you work towards that purpose, and you have an engaged staff, that believes in that vision, you can make strides like this. So when you add those percentage points to a graduating class, we truly are changing students' lives. We are giving them a pathway forward. And as I remind the board, you remember that slide from the state of Tennessee. Basically, if they don't hit one of those four key components of key seven, they literally are walking into a life of poverty because they don't have a pathway. There's not a career waiting for them. And that's why this key is so drastically important for our district. And we've made great strides there, and we're very happy. And I want to thank staff for all the work they've done to help our students succeed. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Pat. She's going to do some reviews here, some recommendations going forward. And like I said, Alan will follow her after that.
Okay, I will just begin by saying our budget, in addition to being when it's all completed and approved by the city, our spending authorization, but it's also a tool and a plan for us to help us provide accountability, both for the district, for departments, and to help us assist us as we move forward. This first graph is just a summary of all of our funds combined. We've had that question asked from us before of what are our total funds. So you'll see a breakdown of what the blue is our general fund, and then our next largest slice is our federal projects. Then our cafeteria program and our other funds in our extended child care program. Our major revenue assumptions for the budget that we've proposed is that sales and property tax estimates have been based on the actual 19 collections to date and then also on historical trends. BEP funding is based on our FY20 estimate from the state, and we are not projecting an increase from the city. And then we're also proposing use of fund balance. The next slide that we have actually gives an overview of BEP funding in the last 5 years since FY14. The blue will actually show you the dollar amounts that we've received year after year and FY19 for our projected amount. The orange line shows you the percentage of increase year over year. And you can see that for the past few years, when we have a previous governor, our percentage increase year over year, we got up to 5.27%. This current year is 4.12, and the next year it's going to be 2.08% increase over this year for FY20. Again, just to overview our expenditure assumptions, we are providing a step increase for all staff that are eligible and a 2.5% increase. Supplies and services and revisions that are needed to support district initiatives. This year has been a good year as far as our employee insurance benefits. Both health insurance is having no increase in the district's portion, and then only a 5% increase in vision, but all other insurances remain at the same. And then our retirement benefits also have been very minimal for FY20. We'll be adding staffing additions and reductions based upon the district's goals and initiatives. One of the major expenditures we had this year, an increase, was in student transportation. We've added 3 additional bus routes for special needs students. And then textbook adoption is a sizable increase over last year. And also our increase in capital improvements for critical needs, we are addressing that. This is a summary of what it would cost for salary increases, including benefits, all the way from 1% to 3%. The BEP funding this year was announced that we would have a 2.5% increase, and we'll get to a little detail on that later. That's a dramatic difference. This is an overview of the position changes for the year, additions and reductions. I won't list all of those, but if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Uh, This is an overview of the experience step and salary increase costs in the FY20 budget. The experience step for those employees that are entitled are a total of $401,000. They are not included in BEP. That BEP does not provide funding for that. The 2.5% salary increase is just a little over $1 million. The state BEP, although they are providing 2.5% for staff that are covered in the funding formula, the slide on the right will show you that actually the funds are less than 1% to cover a 2.5% raise for our staff. And then the total cost for the experience and staff STEP salary increase are $1.4 million. This is just an overview of the salary increases for the past 11 years, and if you average all of those, you come out to 1.46% over those 11 years. And again, we're proposing to balance the FY20 budget by using fund balance. We'll be using $1.66 million from our undesignated fund balance and $200,000 for committed for other purposes. Once those funds are used, we will be down to 8.9% of our budgeted expenditures at the end of FY20. An overview of our fund balance recommendations. In FY18, we were at 14.6% of our actual budget expenditures, 12.26 projected for FY19, and again at the end of FY20, we project to be at 8.9%. GFOA recommends a minimum of 10% for school, and Best School Business Management recommends 8 to 10% of fund balance. And the state requires that we have a minimum of 3%. We cannot not ever go under 3%. Some of the reasons to document the necessity of maintaining a fund balance for the schools. Our fund balances and cash flow fluctuates because our revenues are received at different times. The local property taxes are not received until January through March, the large percentage of those. And then our BEP funding from the state, we do not receive in May and July. So that does create some cash flow problems. Our expenditures and salary obligations are paid each month throughout the year, an average $5.25 million per month, and the payroll is 4.25%, or 4.25 million, I'm sorry. And in addition to that, both federal and state grants are on a reimbursement basis. And so the general fund fronts those costs and then we are reimbursed. And sometimes that can be 30 to 90 days until we get reimbursed. This is a brief overview of the undesignated fund balance history for the last 5 years. The green line shows the FY19, where we are to date. And you can see it does fluctuate. And when we get to October each year, we do get close to being able to make payroll if we get below the $2 million. This slide gives an overview of where we're projecting fund balance to be each month for the FY20 year, beginning with a projected balance in June 30th of $7 million and ending June 30th of FY20 with $5.3 million. And the final slide that I have is just the cash flow projections. And what this graph shows is actually our revenues and expenditures by month. That is the two bars. And then the red line actually shows you the cash balance for those months. So as you can see, when we get to October, we're about $3 million. And when you're looking at paying payroll twice of $2.1 million, it can get a little tight. So that's all that I have. So Alan will be next.
Thank you. The school district and the city are currently in the process of completing our first energy services project, which utilizes our energy savings to replace major HVAC components and other items within our school district. The school district and the city also developed an inclusive roofing replacement plan based upon priorities and our available funding. We're in the process of updating a facility study for all school district buildings. The facility study will provide us a foundation for future capital improvement plans and identify our needs based on prospective growth. The district contracted with Cope Architecture to update the facility study, which did the original study in 2007. And we're including the high school in this study, which was not in the original study because it was under construction at the time. The new preschool building is under construction. I got a nice little walkthrough of it today. It's really coming along. We anticipate being in there for next fiscal year, about halfway through the year at this time. Now that we've moved out of the wet season, construction has truly moved forward at a very fast pace. Little update on the ESG project. We're about 90% complete with final commissioning work wrapping up. There's some punch list items that are currently in process at Robertsville and Jefferson. And we expect to see this completed in June. Early indications of energy savings have been very promising. So this project is producing what it said it would. Roofing update for us to look at. The city and the school district completed roof evaluation through Roof Connect in 2018, providing us our plan of action. Robertsville roof is actually scheduled for replacement this year, and that work will be done over the summer. Bids were opened, I believe it was last week. Several district roofs will continue to need additional maintenance due to their deteriorating condition. You can see some on the photos there of patchwork that's had to be done. We continue to find and identify these problems as we go along, and we expect to see just before the end of the school year, hopefully we'll see the contractors mobilizing materials on site at Robertsville to begin that work at that school, and it will be an inclusive roof replacement. Every bit of the roof will be done, including repair of the gym and the shingled roof on the auditorium. The next slide I'd like to point out is our historical investment on CIP, and this is on the capital maintenance portion of the CIP. As you notice, looking back from 2006 to current time, we've had a substantial drop off beginning in 2012 and continuing on. Funds allocated to the school district for the purpose of capital maintenance has been fairly inconsistent, and both in the regularity and funding amount. This year we had $15,000 allocated for annual blankenship bleacher inspection, and this does not include the cost that the city is putting in toward a new building for the preschool or for the new roof at Robertsville. This is based on our capital maintenance needs. In order to offset those costs, if you look at our funding based on 2013 to currently, you'll notice that we've had to supplement those costs with operational funds, school general fund and capital outlay funding, and grant funding. So those shortfalls have been had to meet within our own operating budget. Some of the items that were addressed through operational dollars include partially paying for the Woodland structural stabilization in 2013, the construction of the school's data center also in 2013. We also worked on the fiber optic loop project in 2014. Architectural services for the blankenship visitor bleachers. Robertsville restrooms in 2014 were remodeled. 2015, we did emergency replacement of cooling tower coils. In 2016, we did Linden Cooling Tower repair, as well as a Jefferson exterior staircase and remodel of G Building for auto mechanics. These were all done as in-house projects using capital outlay or capital general fund dollars. And the list continues.
Alan,
excuse me,
before you go on to the next one, can you get us a list, that list that you just went over? Can you get each or send each member of the board that list?
Can do. I'm compiling all the data for multiple years, so you'll have actually a more inclusive list than that.
Thank you.
Hit some of the high marks.
Right. Thank you.
Some of the HVAC failures that were not included in the current ESG project that we had to deal with in the last fiscal years. Wildcat Arena HVAC rooftop units at a cost of $87,000. We've replaced two rooftop units for Willowbrook at a cost of $35,000. The training room at the high school, the HVAC unit had to be replaced there at a cost of almost $10,000. The Jefferson fifth grade HVAC unit failed just this last few months, and that was a cost of $44,000. And multiple maintenance issues throughout the district that we've had to replace compressors, coils, or other key components at a large cost that would have been included in the ESCO if we would have done a fully funded project.
Thank you, Alan. The next two slides there have to do with what's next and the meetings that are coming up. So after tonight, we'll have a decision if we need to have another meeting Wednesday or if we move to Monday, and then you'll just see the next slide on down the line all the way through June through this process. That was a quick overview. I know the board has received the budget document. Again, that budget document is online. And, as Chairman, you've said, a big thank you to Pat and her staff. As we know, we've run two systems behind the scenes here to make sure we're ready to roll with our new system, and I think tonight's a testament of that being ready. And as I leaned over to Pat before we started, I think our first executive budget meeting was this past December, so we've been at this a while, and I think that's why we're here tonight with a pretty concise presentation and in a direction forward. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Borchers. It would be my recommendation, having reviewed the budget document, looking at this, can you go back to the next? Looking at our budget schedule, on Monday, May the 13th, when we do a line-by-line review of the expenditures in the budget, to me, that seems to be the most appropriate time to have budget development and discussion of the budget, even if we have to go just a little bit longer than we might normally go. I just think that's where the questions and hopefully some of the answers come about, or if not, the questions get to you and your staff and you can come back with answers on Wednesday, May the 15th, which is the first reading and the public hearing. But of course, during the next few days, if any board member, as you review the budget, have questions or concerns, I would strongly recommend that you send them to the superintendent. And then that's would be a time saver there as well. So it would be my recommendation that we do not meet on Wednesday, May the 8th, that we start our next work on this budget on Monday, May 13th, and I would entertain yays or nays from my colleagues on the board.
Have intelligent questions before we go through the line by line.
That's so kind of what I'm thinking.
To do any necessary work session following the line by line would make more sense.
Okay, then that's what we'll do. If you'll make that notification, we'll meet again on Monday the 13th at 5:30 p.m. Any other comments or concerns at this point in time from the board? see the city manager slipped in. Mr. Watson, thank you for being here as well. We appreciate it. With that being said, we're adjourned.